Welcome to the August 8th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Role Playing. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to College Park. Wow, this is eerily quiet. It's never that quiet in here, except when none of us are in here. It's good to see you this morning. Welcome to College Park. Hope you're all doing well. They tell us it's the dog days of summer. I don't really like that term, but the most important thing is that summer is still going on, and there's time for school and football and all that stuff is coming soon, but it's still summer, and it's good to gather here, and thankfully it's a little bit cooler in here than it will be outside later today, but good to see you all here, and glad you're here this morning as we gather for worship. And just in a few brief moments before we begin worship, I'd like to share a few pieces of information about the schedule for this week and what's going on in the life of the church. Jeff is not here today and sends his greetings. If he were here today, he would mention the pew pads. And the pew pads, which should be located at the end of the pew, if you will, just take a moment to record that that you were here, so we'll have a record of your attendance. We'd appreciate that and pass it down to the other end of the row, and we'll collect those later. You see in your order of worship on the back cover and in the inside fold the opportunities for this week and some other scheduling notes. First, for tonight, excuse me, for tonight at 5 o'clock is a celebration of our Mountain Outreach Mission Project, building the house in Kentucky, the first week of July. And tonight is a celebration, and there's going to be some sharing and some pictures. And that's 5 o'clock in Smith Hall. I think it's going to go until 7 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. That's tonight. This week you'll see the full schedule. Just the highlight. Wednesday night we'll have at 6:30 our salad and sandwich supper, and we'll continue our study of the 10 as we look at this week we'll be looking at the seventh commandment. We're just a couple of weeks away from the full family night Wednesday night schedule. Again, that's coming, and there's time for all that soon. Brief word about, you may have seen the table as you enter from the parking lot and come down the hall by Smith Hall. There's a table on the left, but we're collecting school supplies to help watermark. And there's a list there of what else is needed and what the, you know, deadlines are, anything else I need to say about that. So anyway, we're collecting schools to help watermark, which is a, church recent, over the last couple of years, church plant down in the Troutman area, and something we've helped them with every August over the last couple of years are collecting school supplies that they can use to help children and minister down in their area. And so that's something we're doing again this year. You'll probably see these, a point of praise. You'll see these beautiful flowers behind me, which came from, the wedding yesterday of Julia Cook and Don Page, which went very well. It was here in town and outside, and it was just a perfect occasion. And we're so happy for Don and Julia as two who have grown up among us. And all weddings and big occasions are very special. But when it's two people that we know so well and feel like family and church family, it's very special. And so we celebrate with them and the Page and Cook families, and they share these flowers with us today. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to any guests that may be here today. Our ushers are going to come down, and whether you've visited with us before or not, we'd like to provide some information to you if you would like it. If you would just get the attention of the ushers, they'll hand you a packet of information, which includes a newsletter and a letter from our pastor and some other information about College Park and who we are and what we do. But most importantly, thank you for being here today, and whether you've been here many, many times, or whether today is the first time, whatever may have brought you here, we're glad you're here, and thank you for joining us today. There are many good reasons to come to church, but the best reason is for worship. And the reason that we gather together is to dedicate this time, to dedicate our hearts and our minds to God, to give Him this hour of joint worship together. Let us focus our hearts and minds on worship let this be a time that we give what we have to God.
Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your throne this morning, Lord, we come joining those around the world who are worshiping at this moment. Lord, we come joining those who from eternity and for eternity have been around your throne proclaiming honor and wisdom and glory and power and strength to him who sits upon the throne. And Lord, as we come before your throne, as we come into this place to worship, Lord, and we realize that you are here with us, Lord, we cannot help but to be in awe of you. Lord, be with us in these coming moments. Open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to see you and to hear you and to know you. And in our time together, Lord, as we worship, help us to be changed by you, to go out and to love and to declare your love to all those we encounter. Lord, we love you and we honor you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture readings today come from the Revised Common Lectionary. The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 50. This is Psalm 50 beginning in verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by, which is in the same New International Translation. And especially for our New Testament reading, I think reading along might be very helpful. From Psalm 50. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness. For God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. And from the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. We'll be reading beginning in Galatians 4 at verse 13 and continuing into chapter 5. This is Galatians 4:13. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above and that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Can we pray together? Dear Lord, it's very special and what a privilege to be able to gather in your house to read your word, to come to you in prayer. We thank you for your many, many blessings. If we were to stop right now and count them, the problem would not be where to start, but where to stop. Because you are the reason for everything that we have and all that we are, all that we experience, all the joys, blessings, hope, and peace of our lives. And we thank you. We don't do it often enough, Lord, but we want to dedicate ourselves to you. We want to come back to what's important. And just as we read in the scripture about your people who you called and who felt the joy and the power of your love after Paul had been with them, but they lost their way and needed some encouragement. They needed to get back to the basics and get back to what's important, Lord, and we need to do that so much because we can get so caught up in ourselves and get so caught up in what's right in front of us in this world that is busy and hectic and stressful and challenging. And sometimes it feels like for us, it takes all the energy we have just to survive, much less accomplish everything we want to accomplish. Lord, help us today, right now, this week, to get back to the basics, to recenter ourselves on you. Because all the things that we want to accomplish, Lord, really don't mean a whole lot if they don't come along with you and come with your guidance and blessing and purpose. And we do want to be about your purpose. Lord, thank you for loving us. It's just so empowering to know that we are not alone in this world, but that there is a care and a love and a concern for us outside of our own bodies. You've blessed us with people and family and friends who care about us, church family. But most importantly, you've blessed us with the knowledge of you and your love and your grace and your peace and the Holy Spirit that lifts us up even when we're low and sustains us through difficult days, just as it brings us such joy and contentment in our high moments. Lord, help us to remember the source of our peace, the source of our promise and our purpose as we go on today and this week. And let us also remember that just as you have called us and created us, you have called and created those that are beside us. And the person sitting to our right or our left right now, the people that will be sitting beside us or walking beside us tomorrow, those are people that you love. Those are people that are dealing with big things as well. And we can be your hands and feet every single day. We can be who you want us to be if we recenter ourselves on you, get back to the basics. Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for loving each one of us. Thank you for the blessing of worshiping in your house, the blessing of being together with other believers. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
For your light is not coming. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're so blessed to have a place we can come to worship. We're so blessed for a roof over our head and friends and fellowship. And we thank you so much for jobs and marriage and all the many unspoken blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And dear Lord, help us to use a special gift of materialism and physical gifts that we have that we could continue to spread the word of your love. In your most gracious name we thank you, dear Lord. Amen.
Thank you. in the early service, we had a pretty neat video, and kept all through the video kept saying things about how people were amazed whenever they encountered Jesus. And amazing is sometimes a term that's overused, but I can tell you that I'm not only amazed by the grace that God extended through the gift of His Son, but I'm also amazed sometimes as I read Scripture to see this band of disciples that Jesus put up with. I mean, they're a pretty amazing group in the sense that He tolerated them. But then as I put that word of judgment out there about this group of 12 that just seemed to do things off the wall, I'm also reminded of the fact that I'm really amazed that God puts up with us. Amen? It's amen or oh me. and as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there's a lot of stories. And Luke, we're kind of reading through Luke as part of the lectionary readings. And when I get to Luke, you see lots of really good stories about the disciples. For example, in his gospel, Luke pictures the 12 disciples failing when they tried to cast a demon out of a boy. But then they tried to prevent someone who could exercise in Jesus' name from doing so because he doesn't belong to their little group. He doesn't belong to their little group, so we don't want him to do that. Before that, just before that, they were arguing about which one of them is the greatest. And you go, wow. You know, but that's pretty realistic, actually. Because we may not be able to live like Jesus, but by golly, we know how to exclude those who aren't like us sometimes, don't we? Yeah. We may not be able to free people from the grip of evil, but we're pretty skilled at dividing ourselves into little groups to argue with each other, aren't we? Yeah. Also from Luke's gospel comes our text for today. And it's kind of a lesson in three parts. And the reason I told you those other two stories is because it kind of plays into the context of what Jesus is teaching today. And what we're going to ask you to do today is take a little imaginary trip, a little role playing, but more about that in a minute. But to set the stage for the lesson today, I want you to imagine, this is all imaginary now, that there's a group of Christians that are gathered together near the end of the first century, and they're listening to this gospel reading as it's read aloud, which it was. They gathered in groups, they read Scripture aloud. That was the mainstay of why they gathered, to read Scripture and to pray together and to sing. Now, let's imagine that this little group meets in the house of a man named Stephanus, which is a biblical name. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's imagine that he is well off, that he has a house that has a banquet room. And maybe that banquet room opens out into a porch that has like a flower and shrub type garden, and maybe there's a few stone little benches around. And let's imagine it's big enough, which it probably was, it could have been, for the whole congregation to gather there. In these home church meetings, that it's conceivable that they could all meet there together. So let's say that they're gathered there together, and Stephanus has several slaves who work at his house, which would be a realistic expectation of someone who was a person of means. And let's just imagine that there's one slave there whose name is Fortunatus, which would be translated lucky. Maybe not too lucky for him, but that is a biblical name also, and it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 also. So they're gathered there together, and they're presenting this reading. Now, to set the stage of that, you know, Stephanus is as the homeowner, he's going to be sitting in kind of a prominent position because he is the owner of the home, and there's some status with that. And the slave, Lucky, he's going to be out on the perimeter because if people need something, he has to be to where he can get up and go get things and bring it back for the people who need it. So that's kind of what the setting is. Okay, again, that's imaginary, but it's not outside the realm of possibility of what might have taken place. So now we're going to take Scripture and say, if this is the public reading of this Scripture, how do we think that it would have affected this particular gathering of people? Okay? Now, the Scripture is real, okay? It's not imaginary. The Scripture is real, and it's coming from Luke chapter 12, and I invite you to take your Bible if you'd like to. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 32. This is a familiar passage, but hear it again. Hear it like you're hearing it for the first time, like you would be gathering in a meeting like we've described and hearing it for the first time, perhaps. Beginning in verse 32 and going down through verse 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve. Will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Have you ever played charades? Have you played charades? Yes. Come on. Who has played charades? Okay, that's a little bit better. Now, you've probably played them as a kid, but you've also probably played them as an adult, right? It's a good game. And in charades, there is a lot of creative role playing. And I need you to kind of take on that mentality this morning, because we're gonna kind of do a little role playing. I'm gonna ask you to imagine yourself being three different things, one at a time, and we'll work through it, okay? The first thing you need to imagine yourself, you need to be a sheep. Can you do that? We were waiting on the noise. Okay. You need to imagine being a sheep, because the gospel lesson begins with the words, do not be afraid, little flock. Do you really want to be a sheep? Not really, probably. I mean, you know. But Jesus sends his followers out back in the early part, back in chapter 10 of Luke. Jesus sends his followers out telling them they will be like sheep among wolves. Now how many want to be sheep? But see, that's not the context here. Among wolves is kind of a dangerous setting, but in this chapter, it's intended to be a comforting image. Jesus says, fear not, little flock. It's God's good intention to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. And if you're a sheep, you're going to say, huh? What use do I have for a kingdom? All I want is food, shelter, a little security. Sheep don't care about the stuff that we normally associate with a kingdom. Sheep don't care about power. They don't care about wealth. They don't care about territory. But then the kingdom that Jesus offers, the kingdom that God wants to provide, is not like any earthly kingdom at all. God's kingdom, God's realm, is a place where there's no status, where the one who wants to be great is like a slave, and where there's no need and there's no value in wealth. That's the kingdom that God is offering. Jesus said, sell your possessions and give alms, give it away. And in the Father's kingdom, the sheep won't need their wallets, their bank accounts, their credit cards. They won't need any of that stuff. So, do you want to be a sheep in a flock that's given a kingdom where money means nothing? Well, maybe so. I don't imagine our imaginary audience like that much, that's part of the story very much, because nobody really wants to be a sheep. Because they're herd animals. They're there for human consumption and for the wool off their back. But nobody really wants to be one. And I doubt that many of Luke's hearers thought that selling off their property and giving it away was a good idea any more than we would think that's such a swell idea. The idea of a kingdom where nobody is higher than anyone else may have appealed to the slate. Oh, no, wait a minute. Probably not. Because his dream was probably to be in a position where he could have slaves, where he could see what that felt like. Now, this kingdom of sheep business is not appealing to anyone. But yet it's precisely where we need to begin if we want congregational life to be more Christ-like. Amen? That's where we need to begin. We're sheep. We're sheep who have been given a kingdom. And our priority is to live according to the rules of the kingdom that God has given to us. As sheep, we need to understand storing up treasures on earth is useless. Now, that's first role. Second role is you be a slave. You need to be a slave now. That's just a step up from a sheep. It's a very short step. Because in the day and time, you know, Jesus' day, slaves were property. Sheep were property, slaves were property. They were just barely a step up. Because the slaves could be sold, they could be whipped, they could be tortured, they could be crucified, literally at the whim of the owner. Everybody, all but the poorest households had slaves. And the slaves had to do the grubby, the menial task. And in our story, the master has gone off to be married. And the slaves are supposed to prepare for him to come back. And if you're a smart slave, you know that when the master comes back with Mrs. Master, that you need to be ready. And you need to be waiting at the door to take the luggage, do whatever you need to do to make her feel more comfortable. There are a lot of tasks that need to be done, and you need to be ready. You need to be at the door making sure you're dressed and ready to go to help the master and Mrs. Master. But that's not what the story says. The story takes a twist because it says when the master came back, he began preparing a feast for the slaves. Huh? And then when he finished preparing the feast, he served the feast to the slaves. What in the world is going on? Just don't get it. What's the point of this story? Jesus puts this jarring set of images together because he knew that those who heard it would have been thrown out of the normal way of thinking and trying to discover what is the point in this story. Now, this story probably would have bothered the Stephanus, the Christian slaveholder. I bet it would have bothered him a little bit because it gets a little personal at this point because we don't want slaves getting the notion that being a Christian makes them equal with us. Now, do we? Maybe we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but in the real world, there are status differences to be observed. The slave probably liked the story, but he didn't think it was very realistic. Kind of a fairy tale. No master would really behave like that, would they? And throughout most of the history of Christianity, of the Jesus movement, Fortunatus the slave, he would have been right. Because Christianity was supposed to do away with the distinctions between rich and poor, between slave and free, between male and female. But it didn't. And it hasn't, for the most part. Even today, when slavery is not legal in our country, we don't assume that being Christians really makes us all the same, do we? Not really. Christian congregations still sort themselves along lines of class and education and income. But imagine Imagine for just a moment that this were not true. And imagine that people who did the grubby, the menial task sat right next to us in worship. Right next to us, family night, suppers. I can tell you this, and I'll pause here for just a moment. I think College Park does a good job of welcoming anyone and everyone. But we always have room for improvement, don't we? Throw your heads this way. We always have room for improvement. And across the kingdom, we need to let people know that Christianity, Christ has broken down all barriers. And that needs to be our attitude, not just when we gather and worship, but when we interact with people daily. So, this morning we've been a sheep. We didn't much care for that. We've been a slave, and we're finding out, although at first impression maybe that wasn't a good thing, there's a benefit there. The third role I want you to take on is being a householder, being a homeowner, being someone who owns a house, property. And the word that Jesus actually uses in verse 39 means Lord of the household. Now you're talking. Lord of the household. The big dog, the guy that sits up there and he owns all the property, all the physical property belongs to him, and all the decisions get to be made by him. That's who we're talking about. And everybody says, yeah, I want to be that guy. That's what I want to be. The slave says, hey, man, I want to be that guy. All of us do. But Jesus twists that story too. He twists it. And in the little narrative, he asks us to imagine that the household has been burglarized. Had he only known what hour the thief was coming, he could have prevented the loss of property. Well, duh, yeah. I mean, if you know when the thief's showing up, you try to be there and make sure he doesn't steal your stuff, right? And that seems like a statement of the obvious. But Jesus says, you also must be ready. Because the Son of Man is coming when you don't expect. We have a temptation to apply this only in an eschatological sense. But what about today? What does it mean today? And Jesus takes it and he gives it two kind of unexpected turns. The first one is, obviously, if the household owner had known what hour the thief was coming, he wouldn't have let his stuff be burglarized, right? You want to be a household owner? You want to own property? Fine, Jesus is saying. Be the one whose stuff has already been stolen. That way you can focus on God's realm, not money, not stuff. The second unexpected turn is when Jesus says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You want to be a household owner? Fine. Be the one who's always on the alert, guarding the property. Oh, but wait, there's a problem with that. Because in Luke's day, guarding the house was the job of who? The slaves. Oh my. The slaves stayed awake so that the master could sleep. Well, too bad. Too bad. Tough. If you're going to be a household owner, you have to imagine being one who lives like a slave. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus' parables and teachings are all about shaking up our world, giving us new ways to kind of look at ourselves and making us question assumptions. We like the image of the kingdom of God, of justice, peace, and security and all of that, until we realize that the only way a kingdom can be fully all of those things is if there's no money or power or status to fight about. We don't like thinking of ourselves as slaves until we hear that the reward for the slave is that Jesus himself will serve us. We like imagining ourselves as the homeowner, right? Until we learn that that role will require constant vigilance. Sheep get a kingdom. Slaves are served dinner. Householders must always stand guard. Each of us is invited to wear someone else's suit. Which one will you wear? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to be confronted with truth out of the mouth of our Savior, because it forces us to shake up our assumptions. It forces us to think of ourselves in a little bit different light. Father, we pray that we would have the strength and the courage, the wisdom to seek what you have for us, to set aside the things of this world, figuratively, spiritually, and perhaps even literally, so that we can follow you more completely in our hearts, in our minds, and in our actions. Father, for each of us, that'll be a different, little bit different thing, because you know our hearts, you know the things that stand between us and you. And we pray that this morning you would convict us of whatever it is that we have placed ahead of you, so that we can confess that you can cleanse us, restore us, make us a new creation in Christ. Father, we love you. We just pray that our attitudes and our actions would show it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you may know about Jesus, you may know details and facts that you've read about Jesus, but you don't have a personal relationship with him, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you would like to know more about this man, this Son of God, who died for your sins, I'll be glad to share that with you. I'll be here at the front. We sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you, pray with you, and tell you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're certainly welcome to call me this week. It's not a one-shot deal. I mean, certainly glad to talk with you anytime about that. You may be here this morning and say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but boy, I've got a load of stuff that I really need to kind of set aside and get back to what God wants me to be and what God wants me to do. There's opportunity for you this morning to kind of set that aside. You can certainly pray where you are, or you're also welcome to come here. The altar will be open. I think we have some prayer warriors that may be coming as well. So whatever you would like to do in that regard. You may be here this morning and say, well, I love this congregation. I've been welcomed warmly, and I want to be officially a part of this congregation by church membership. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share those with you, and we'll find a place for you. But whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. after the benediction and the response, I invite you to greet the people around you if you haven't already taken a moment to do that. And we invite you to come back tonight from 5 to 7 for our Mountain Outreach celebration in Smith Hall. Hope you have a blessed afternoon. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, the blessings of this day, the sweet fellowship. Father, we pray that now as we go, we will go in that same spirit, seeking what you have for us this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.